This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Fresh Air's hometown, Philadelphia, is about to play host to tens of thousands of Republicans, media people, and protesters. The city is preparing for everything from traffic jams and crowded restaurants to demonstrations of civil disobedience. Why do cities compete so vigorously to host a political convention? And what did Philadelphia offer in order to win? My guest Dave Davies is a longtime reporter for the Philadelphia Daily News. He covered the administration of Mayor Ed Rendell, which put together the convention package, and he's covering the current mayor, John Street. It's somewhat ironic that Rendell, who convinced the Republicans to come here, is now the head of the Democratic National Committee. But Rendell felt so strongly about the city hosting a convention, he pitched both parties.
One of the things about Ed Rendell is that he's just an audacious sort of guy who gets an idea and goes with it. And he was really excited about the city and some of the things that were happening in the city and felt that it would be a great place that anybody would want to visit, and Republicans would like it too. He also saw the political logic of Pennsylvania being a swing state, which Republicans need in a national convention, and thought that would be a selling point. When I did some early reporting on the city's effort to get the convention, I was really surprised to hear what the business is like. At least since the 90s, I mean, both parties issue specific requirements on what you're expected to provide if you want to even be considered for a convention. They want you to have 20,000 to 25,000 hotel rooms within a half an hour. They want 100 air-conditioned buses for delegates. They want first-class travel and hotel accommodations for as many visits as the site selection committee wants to make to your city. And the other thing that surprised me was a financial package in the tens of millions of dollars. These things are expensive to put on, and the parties have learned, just as baseball sports franchises have learned and other institutions, that cities will pay.
What do you mean by a financial package? What does that mean?
It means cash for the it means cash and services to cover the huge costs of putting on an event of this scale. Money for security, for transportation, for insurance. You have to build a 150,000 square foot media area for the 15,000 journalists that'll be there filing and setting up their satellite trucks. The traffic controls, the security concerns, all those things have to be provided. It runs in the tens of millions. And in the case of Philadelphia, the package that was put together totaled $52 million. Now, that wasn't all public money. Most of it wasn't. About $7 million was from the city. About $7 million was from the state. But the rest of it was from private corporations. And I think the Republican committee loved the city. I think I was here when the site selection committee came in June, and it was a beautiful, bright, sunny day when they were at the Independence historical area and taking carriage rides around. And it can be kind of a magical place at those moments. But the money really mattered.
Now, when you talk about the money, is this all like money in services? Or is there any like direct cash that changes hands?
A lot of it's direct services, such as police overtime, traffic control. But the bulk of the money that is contributed by the host community goes through a quasi-public corporation that is the host committee. In this case, it's called Philadelphia 2000, and they raise and spend a ton of money in putting this on.
So is this considered a campaign contribution?
That's an issue. There are those in Common Cause and elsewhere who think it's an outrage to have corporations and governments contributing money on the scale of tens of millions to an explicitly partisan political event. And they have a point. The Federal Election Commission does permit this use, and it sort of makes distinctions between political uses of that money and non-political uses. It would be a political use to make a video of the candidate, which is shown on convention night. It's maybe a non-political use to provide media space. But in the minds of critics, I mean, it's that distinction gets kind of specious. I mean, the fact is that corporations are barred from contributing to, you know, federal election campaigns, but they're permitted to contribute in great measure to hosting a convention, which, it can be argued, saves the party in question that money from contributing to the political campaign. I have to say, on the other side of the issue, that the convention is, in fact, kind of it does generate jobs. I mean, it is an economic development opportunity and something which can boost the self-image of the community. So I don't think that a lot of corporations that give do so for other reasons other than that. They think that it is good for the city.
One of the promises that was made to the GOP was that Philadelphia would have 2,000 more rooms by the year 2000 than it had a couple of years ago when it was making the deal with the Republicans to have the convention here. And I think Philadelphia got the rooms. What did it do to get more hotel rooms?
You know, that was a promise that was made, but it really that's one thing that the host committee and the mayor couldn't make happen by themselves. The reason that there's a growth in hotel construction in Philadelphia is that the city is doing well. I mean, the downtown is really bustling. The tourism and hospitality industry has gotten a nice kick from a convention center which opened in 1993. And there are things going on here that people are kind of excited about. And that and a booming national economy has helped generate the economic kind of climate that hotels could build in. Now, the city did do what it could. I mean, and the mayor did offer tax breaks to a number of these hotels, but they wouldn't have happened on that basis alone. I have to say that one of the other thing that's the other things that I think sold the site selection committee is that a lot of these new hotels are in old buildings which have been renovated, and that sort of fits with what Philadelphia has to offer that's unique, the sense of 19th century and early 20th century architecture, a sense of heritage. One of the hotels that's right across from where I work at the City Hall Bureau of my newspaper used to be the old City Hall Annex. It was this musty, asbestos-laden, rat-infested dump, and it's been taken over by the Marriott Corporation, and these beautiful stone Romanesque arches are cleaned and all the brass is polished, and it looks great, and it looks great in a way that a new hotel often doesn't in the Sun Belt. And I think that kind of stuff really impressed the site selection committee.
Dave Davies is my guest, and he's a longtime reporter for the Philadelphia Daily News, and he's been covering a lot of the city's preparations for the Republican National Convention. With the national media focusing on the city of Philadelphia, the city is, of course, hoping for, you know, really good publicity, but there have been a couple of events recently that have had the opposite effect, particularly an event involving the Philadelphia police. Do you want to describe what happened, Dave?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Viewers around the nation have seen on television is a videotape of police surrounding. This is taken overhead from a television station's helicopter, of police pulling a carjacking suspect out of a car, surrounding him, and kicking him for about 30 seconds, administering 50 or so blows before it eventually stops and the suspect is taken away. Because it is very dramatic video, it got very, very wide play. I think it's kind of there's no doubt that it's unfortunate that this happened just as the Republicans are about to come, unfortunate for the city. But I also think that it's unfortunate that the whole story is not widely circulated. It becomes treated as a Rodney King, too, and it really isn't. I mean, this was a large guy with a long criminal record who was seen in a stolen car, led police on a dangerous high-speed chase through a residential neighborhood, was stopped, fought the police, managed to get away, steal a police car, drive on another high-speed chase, and when he was finally cornered, he was pulled out. The video shows the beating occurring. What you can't see because the officers are standing over the suspect is what the suspect is doing, and in fact, the pile, if you look at it, is kind of moving, and what the officer's lawyer has said is that the suspect was fighting, resisting, kicking, in fact, that he had his teeth clenched around one of the officer's hands, and in fact, one of the officers was treated for a human bite afterwards, so that in the officer's defense, what you could say was this was a guy who was fighting him and who had his teeth clenched in one of the cops, and they were kicking him to get him to release him to get him under control. And once that happened, they let him go. Now, we're going to figure out what happened. I mean, there will be other witnesses, and I suspect that there will be a sense that there was police success here. I mean, there were reports that he had shot a police officer in the hand before. It's not clear whether that happened or whether it was crossfire. But there's no question that the video is dramatic, and it shows a lot of police violence against this guy. And it does not help the city as it begins to host a convention in which police conduct in mass protests are a concern.
Your paper, the Philadelphia Daily News, had a cover story that had a photo of the police beating with the headline, "Welcome America." Was there a lot of editorial conversation about whether to run that headline or not?
The headlines are picked by guys who work late at night when the moon comes up, and it's time. it's time to make a splash and get impulse buyers of the newspaper, and so things like that happen. The other thing happens, and this is sort of a comment about the way the media works these days. A newspaper has to offer something different, and by the time people were going to be buying our newspaper, they would have seen that video many, many times, anybody who's remotely aware of the news. What the newspaper was attempting to do there was to make a connection between this now widely known beating and the fact that we are about to be in the national spotlight and the Republicans are coming. So it was a way of kind of expressing that connection in a really arresting way. And we caught a lot of grief for it.
From readers?
From readers, from city officials who literally stopped by to complain about it. It's the kind of difficulty that you have in reporting on controversial events. And I think a lot of folks felt that the paper went over the line there.
My guest is Dave Davies, a longtime reporter for the Philadelphia Daily News. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about how Philadelphia won the bid to host the Republican convention and what it's had to do to prepare. My guest is Dave Davies of the Philadelphia Daily News. Well, Philadelphia is not only going to be hosting the Republican National Convention, it's going to be hosting a lot of really large demonstrations during the convention, and there will be protesters from around the country coming here. So there'll be a lot of attention on how the Philadelphia police handles those protests. The protests are supposed to be officially confined to an area near the convention. One umbrella group sued for the right to protest in the streets of the city. They won, and there will be a large rally in the city on the streets on Sunday. And then there are other protests that will go ahead without permits. And I think everybody's wondering, how will the police respond to these unpermitted protests? What has the mayor had to say about this, Dave? You've covered City Hall for a long time, and the mayor of Philadelphia is John Street, who's a Democrat, former member of City Council, and a former activist.
Yeah, he many, many years ago. I mean, he chained himself to the railing of City Council and held street demonstrations on behalf of street vendors. I mean, he is an old activist himself, although he has for many years been a fairly traditional politician. He has not handled this particularly deftly. He made the mistake of saying in front of a reporter for George Magazine that folks who come here and want to disrupt are going to get a very ugly response. It was a poor choice of words, and in fact, what the mayor also said in that meeting was that he fully believes in the First Amendment and folks' rights to protest, and he is going to do everything he can not only to make sure that protesters aren't abused, but in fact to make them feel welcome. I mean, the city's planning to, at its own expense, provide portable toilets and drinking water if it's hot and other amenities. So I think the mayor does have a feeling that people expressing their views, and he's always been this way, is a good thing. But his poor choice of words in the magazine was not good, and I think he didn't do a particularly job of handling the gaffe afterward.
Mm-hmm. Philadelphia has been described in a lot of the national press as having undergone a big economic revival. As someone who's covered the city for a long time and covered city politics for a long time, how much of an economic revival do you think the city has undergone?
It's real. You know, I mean, this is a city that at the beginning of the 19th century was the second largest English-speaking city in the world after London. But in the last half of the 20th century, the kind of economic decline and the loss of industrial opportunity that afflicted all these northeastern cities has left this a relatively poor city and a declining city. And it's also suffered from a self-image problem. It's kind of stuck between New York and Washington, which are these great kind of centers of culture and politics. It's not even on the weather maps in CNN, for example. I mean, it tends to be forgotten. It tends to feel forgotten. By the 1990s, the city was completely broke and dispirited. And Mayor Rendell came in 1992, and what has happened has been genuine and real. I mean, there was some steps taken to right the city's economy. The unions made some changes in benefits and work rules, and the mayor just worked hard. I mean, he had a very talented bunch of people. They managed the finances well, improved services a bit, actually began cutting the city's wage tax just a bit, which is kind of unheard of. And that, aided by the good luck of a national economic recovery, meant that the city really got going. I mean, there has been a lot of growth downtown. But huge problems remain. While the city's job growth has actually stopped, it continues to lose population. The school system is both broke and dysfunctional. And too many people still feel unsafe. Too many middle-class families are still fleeing to the suburbs. So the challenges are huge.
You know, we've been talking a little bit about how everybody will be watching how the Philadelphia police handles the protests. And, of course, the image that's in the nation's mind right now is the image of the video in which the police were kicking the suspect. But there's also, like, a long-term image of the Philadelphia police that goes back to the Rizzo era, from the days before he was mayor, when he was police commissioner, and he was, like, the tough law and order head cop, and was kind of proud of the aggressive ways in which protesters were treated. So what would you say about the reputation of the Philadelphia police now and of its pretty new police commissioner?
Well, it was getting better until we saw the video. Back in the 1970s, when a tough-talking former cop, Frank Rizzo, was mayor, the city was actually sued by the Justice Department for an ongoing pattern of police brutality. That changed when he left office. But then in the mid-1980s, there was this disastrous confrontation with a radical group in West Philadelphia, which ended in a fire that destroyed 61 homes and killed 11 people. That didn't help. And there have been ongoing cases of police corruption and brutality over the years. The city's new police commissioner, John Timoney, was probably the most highly regarded kind of available cop in the country when he was hired 2 years ago, and has gotten high marks from both community leaders and police reform advocates for trying to make the cops more honest, more accountable, more efficient, more responsive. And I think most folks believe that he has taken real steps in that direction. His response to the beating has been to say, anybody who's done wrong is going to be punished, but you got to give me time to investigate it. And I think community leaders have, in the main, been satisfied with that. And this will be a real challenge, because what he has to do in handling these protesters is to maintain order, not abuse the rights of the protesters, and not be seen as abusing them, and yet somehow prevent the kind of chaos which really damaged Seattle in the World Trade Conference. And I think that kind of the kinds of protesters we're seeing present a much more challenging situation for cops than maybe they did 10 years ago.
Philadelphia landed the Republican convention before the World Trade Organization protests in Seattle and before it kind of realized that big events like this were going to be a magnet for this new network of political protesters. And I'm wondering if you've been hearing any second thoughts about getting the convention here now that we know that Philadelphia is going to be the site of some major demonstrations.
No, I haven't heard anybody saying that they wish we hadn't done it, but you do hear nervousness. I mean, people are worried that folks who are prepared to kind of use the anonymity of a crowd situation and are willing to get arrested and really kind of don't particularly care who they offend or hurt are a tough bunch for police to deal with. So I think there is nervousness about it.
Just as a little scene setting, we'll all be watching the convention inside what is now called the First Union Center, which has had several other names in the past few years.
The protesters refer to it as the FU Center, right?
But tell us a little bit about this center, how it also functions as a sports arena and where it's located, what's in the neighborhood around there.
Yeah. The First Union Center was built in the early 90s as a home for the Philadelphia 76ers and the Philadelphia Flyers. It's one of the big, new, modern 20,000-seat sports arenas, which also hosts, you know, the circus and rock bands from time to time. It's not downtown, which was a bit of a disadvantage. It's about 4 or 5 miles, connected by a subway to the southern end of the city, where it is fairly near some row house communities who have long been troubled by the amount of traffic and parking issues that it brings. But that's where delegates will go from hotels throughout the area and downtown by these air-conditioned convention buses, which the Republican National Committee requires the host city to provide. They'll go to the center. In the parking lot outside the center is a massive temporary structure built to house some of the 15,000 journalists who will need working space to cover this event. It's interesting. The organizers don't like you calling it a tent, but it is, in fact, a large canvas-covered semi-permanent structure that will be taken down once the convention is over with. In effect, you end up with a small city in this sea of parking lots in South Philadelphia, which will be the center of activity for these 4 days, and then it'll return to normal and back to the city sports franchises.
Philadelphia is a very democratic city, And so it's kind of paradoxical that it's hosting this Republican convention. I'm wondering if you think a lot of the people in Philadelphia who are so excited about the convention coming see it more as just like a big event that might generate good feeling toward Philadelphia and business in Philadelphia, as opposed to seeing it as a political event in which, you know, the outside party is coming here to organize.
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly the way it's seen. It's like getting the Super Bowl or the All-Star game. And it'll be interesting, in fact, when the TV coverage, you know, showcases a lot of hard-hitting partisan speeches by Republicans, whether some of the folks who had been excited about this aren't just a little turned off. But, yeah, no, it's really for the city. It has really little to do with ideology or candidate or campaign. It really is a big event. It's a chance for the city to shine.
Dave Davies writes for the Philadelphia Daily News. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.